The high stakes of the payroll tax showdown in Washington, D.C.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Steve Chiotakis. Most of Congress has gone home for the holidays, and they've left a legislative mess in their wake. That's after House Republicans yesterday rejected a Senate compromise to extend payroll tax cuts through February. If Congress can't come up with an agreement by the end of the year, taxes will go up for millions of Americans. And as Mitchell Hartman reports, that's not all that's at stake.
An extension of federal benefits for the long-term unemployed is tied to extending the payroll tax cut. It's the ninth time since the recession began that Congress has gone to the brink on keeping those checks flowing. If it can't make a deal, nearly 2 million people will fall off the rolls by the end of January, says George Wentworth of the National Employment Law Project.
The average amount of an unemployment check is $295 a week. The Economic Policy Institute estimated that reauthorizing the federal programs would actually save or create over 500,000 jobs.
That's because unemployment payments flow back into the local economy right away for rent, gas, groceries. But they also cost a lot, $44 billion next year, which is why congressional Republicans want the cost offset by other spending cuts. Meanwhile, another cut kicks in on January 1st if Congress doesn't act. Doctors will see their Medicare reimbursement rates slashed by more than 25%. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Yep, we're playing the down music this morning. The Dow is down 64 points at 12,038. The NASDAQ is off nearly 2 percentage points. It's down 46 points. The S&P 500 is off 7.5 points this morning. Turns out the United States population is growing at its slowest rate in 70 years. The U.S. Census says the number of people living in the U.S. grew just under 1% between 2010 and 2011. Also today, we got word that existing home sales rose in November, but the National Association of Realtors says the housing market during the recession was weaker than they thought. It's tough out there, no doubt about it. Consider one part of Atlanta where homes are now selling for less than the price of a used car. Jim Burris reports from WABE.
On paper, 434 James P. Brawley Drive sounds like the American dream. A three-bedroom ranch, fenced yard, a front porch, and walking distance to the best downtown Atlanta has to offer.
God help me, Lord. That's the American nightmare.
Neighbor Makeda Johnson can't wrap her head around the fact that 434 Brawley, a house that sold a few years ago for $124,000, was unloaded last week for just a few grand.
It breaks my heart, because if that house sold for $2,000, and another one sold for $15,000, then I probably got the most expensive house in the community at $55,000.
That's what Johnson says her house is now worth. She paid three times that. At the height of the housing boom, speculators thought the neighborhood would pay big returns. So they came in, driving up prices. Then the bubble burst.
There's no options to sell my house. There's absolutely no options.
Johnson lives in the Vine City neighborhood. It and adjoining English Avenue have become the face of the housing crisis in Atlanta. Since the bust, urban decay has crept back into the neighborhood, where you're more likely to see boarded windows than a welcome mat.
Be willing to rethink what a better future looks like.
Mercedes Marquez is an assistant secretary with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. She says sometimes the answer for decaying neighborhoods is tearing down homes and starting over. Dozens of homes in and around Vine City have already been demolished, but even new homes sit abandoned. That's because the problem isn't as much about home prices as it is the larger economy, says Harley Etienne. He's assistant professor of city and regional planning at Georgia Tech.
You can't throw money at housing when the real issue is jobs.
Neighbors hope plans for a Walmart will provide a needed grocery store, jobs, and validation that their community isn't a lost cause. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. and by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
For the first time, the NFL is going to allow live streaming of the Super Bowl online. The move offers up new opportunities for advertisers. Joining us now to help us figure out exactly what those are is AdAge's Brian Steinberg. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. What opportunities does this create for advertisers?
It's an excellent question. You know, what we're curious to find out is whether or not they're going to be selling this separately, apart from the people who buy the $3.5 million ads on NBC, or if this is part of a package. You know, NBC and many other networks for the last couple of years have really been selling packages of ad inventory across their sports programming, not just an ad in the Super Bowl. So it's possible this stuff could be lumped in with everything else someone's buying for the game.
Now, are online viewers really going to add that many numbers to total viewing numbers? I mean, doesn't everyone already have access to the Super Bowl as it is?
You know, it's a great question. It's available on broadcast TV. You can watch it in a mainstream fashion. I think this is a question that might look more at the future. I mean, in the future, I think streaming video will become more important as more TV sets become internet-enabled and people can kind of tap into streaming video via the web from their TV set. So I do think this year you may not see millions and millions of people watching online, but, you know, over time that could change. The balance could shift.
What do you make of the fact they're just partnering with Verizon on cell phone access for the Super Bowl?
It's a great question as to why, you know, if it's available to everybody on TV, why isn't it available to everybody and their uncle and cousin on via mobile phone?
So it's one of those things where you're just going to have to wait and figure out, I guess.
I guess so. These issues are being, I think, worked out as people see how consumers choose to work with it.
Brian Steinberg is a TV editor at AdAge. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
And finally, Foreign Policy has published a list of the worst predictions of 2011. Among them, Condé Nast Traveler's inclusion of Libya on a list of the 15 best places to see right now. Yeah, maybe not a good idea. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Ah, the joys of Christmas.
Christmas was always a really big deal in my family, even though we're all Hindus. But I think the reason why it was such a big deal is that it was kind of new for my parents, too.
Now, imagine your job is to write the Christmas episode for a hit TV show. I'm Kai Rizdal, Mindy Kaling from The Office, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.